Scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord. So we have come to the end of our series on Ruth. On Christmas morning, Pastor Carl talked of the birth of two babies, two boys, a son born to Ruth and Boaz, and a son born to Mary and Joseph. Each child an answer to prayer, with Jesus, of course, being the answer to a prayer that people didn't know they were praying yet. And now we pick up the story with what came next for both of these families as they acted according to Jewish custom. The Mosaic law required that firstborn males would be consecrated or dedicated to God. Boaz and Ruth probably would have done this in Bethlehem, as there was not yet a central place of worship for the Israelite people. But Mary and Joseph would have made the 10-kilometer journey to Jerusalem to bring Jesus to the temple, where they were to present Jesus along with a burnt offering. Now, we know from the circumstances of Jesus' birth that Mary and Joseph don't have two pennies to knock together, and this is confirmed in the temple story. They offer turtle doves as their burnt offering, which is the sacrifice of the poor. And as they enter the temple and they go about their business, they do so in an unnoteworthy manner. They are just another family in humble clothes, doing what the law requires of them, carrying this tiny child in their arms. But somebody does notice them. An old man, stooped and hobbling, comes up to them. Now, we've heard this story so many times that maybe we don't think about how strange this is. But imagine that there's a baptism taking place up here. And in the middle of asking questions to the parents, an elderly man, unknown to the family, comes out of his seat, walks up to the front, takes the child in his arms, and starts to pronounce everything that is going to happen to this child and because of this child. We would be surprised, if not a little alarmed. And so I imagine that Mary and Joseph were a little surprised and also perhaps a little alarmed. But maybe they also recognized in this man something that spoke of his nature and his character. Luke tells us that the man, Simeon, was righteous and devout. He was a wise elder in the church who walked in step with God, always seeking, always watching, always waiting. Waiting for God to fulfill his promises, two promises in particular. The first, the promise of salvation, of rescue, of deliverance for Israel. And the second, a promise made just to Simeon that he would see the one who would bring this deliverance with his own eyes. So perhaps Mary and Joseph recognized something holy in this man, Simeon. Simeon certainly recognized something holy in them. Prompted by the Holy Spirit, he saw in the tiny child held by this nondescript, humble, lowly family, the Savior God had promised, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the light of the world. Simeon takes the child in his arms and sings a song, an old song, sung since the time of Isaiah. This child, he says, will be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. He will bring others into the song, into the story, expanding the blessing of God. And he will be the glory of Israel. He will be the shining light at the center of God's people, drawing people in towards the flame. This is the answer to God's promise to Israel, and this is the answer to God's promise to Simeon. God has made good on his word, has fulfilled the old ancient word. The God who filled Naomi's heart with gladness and filled the empty storehouses of Bethlehem with grain has filled Simeon's eyes with the light of his presence. And Simeon's song doesn't go unheard. An old woman, Anna, as devout as Simeon, worshiping day and night, hears him sing of the child and comes over to them. Perhaps it's Simeon's prophecy. Perhaps she too is filled with the Spirit and knows upon sight that this is truly the Messiah. But she takes up her own song, which she carries with her to those around her, spreading the good news. The one they have waited for is here. They have seen him with their own eyes. They have recognized the Messiah. One of the peculiar things about Christmas is that though it comes at the end of Advent, it also takes place during a perpetual Advent. Advent as a liturgical season lasts for 4 weeks, but Advent is also just the entire season of our lives. Having celebrated that Christ once did come, we are waiting, always waiting, for the coming of the Messiah again. We too want to see Jesus. We want to know that he is present with us and to us. We want to know that God is keeping and will keep his word. That Christ will come to us and make all things new and good and right. And just like with Simeon, there are two levels to this promise, two steps to this promise. On the one hand, God has promised that the Savior of the world will come to us in his fullness, ushering in a new creation, the new heavens and the new earth, and there will be no more death or sorrow or weeping or pain. We cling to this promise, even as we know that it might be a long time before that promise is fulfilled. Which means that while we wait, we yet live in a world that has darkness in it. We look to God, but as the old hymn says, the darkness seems to hide his face. Things get in the way. All the suffering we see around us, our own pain and sickness, the heavy blanket of grief, our doubt and our uncertainty, our own sin and shame. All these things can act like a kind of blindfold, wrapping around us, around our eyes, trying to keep us from seeing God, from seeing Jesus, from seeing the light. And the voices whisper to us in the dark, surely God is not here with you. Surely God is not good. Surely God is not as powerful as you want him to be. The darkness settles in around us. We want to see, we long to see Jesus. But sometimes we just can't see past the blindfold. But here's the thing about blindfolds. They can be removed. And the darkness, the blindfolds, the things in our life that seem to hide God from us, well, they are around our eyes. They don't cover or limit God. God has the power and the desire to remove our blindfolds, to pull them down off of our faces, his own face bent low to ours, smiling as he whispers again and again and again to us, I am here. And Christ has done this for us, has torn the veil, has ripped off the blindfold, not just once, but twice. On a dark night in Bethlehem, the heavens were rent apart as the Christ child was born. God incarnate, God with us, a piece of heaven sent to earth, God made visible to us. And on a dark afternoon on Golgotha, when that child, now a man, breathed his last, the temple curtain that separated the Holy of Holies, the presence of God from the people, was torn from top to bottom. The darkness could not overcome the light of Christ. In the darkness, in his death, the glory of God was now with the people, available to the people with no requirements, no rituals necessary to see, to find that glory. And so even as we wait for Christ's second coming, we hold on to the other promise that God has made to us. That even in the darkness of the not yet, the light of Christ is now with us. That Christ is even now pulling down our blindfolds, coming to us despite all of the things that would try to hide him from us and whispering to us, I am here. Christ is revealing himself to us just as he was revealed to Simeon and to Anna in the temple courts all those years ago. For the same spirit that prompted Simeon to walk up to Mary and Joseph, well, that spirit is within each and every one of us, causing us to recognize Jesus. The Spirit reveals Jesus through the Word of God, through Scripture, through God's special revelation. And the Spirit reveals Jesus, the Word made flesh, through the flesh of life, through his body, the church. Because we, filled with the Spirit, are little incarnations of the incarnate one. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are speaking to the people, explaining that the kingdom of God now includes not just Israel, but also the Gentiles. And they quote in their sermon exactly the same song that Simeon sings in the temple, the old song from Isaiah. They said, "For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles, so that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.'" The light that came into the world in the Christ child, the light that shone forth from the temple when the curtain was torn, that light now shines through each of us. We are the ones who walk alongside our brothers and our sisters and help nudge the blindfold down, revealing God, revealing Christ, revealing light to those in darkness. Through all of the simple things that we do as the body of Christ, through meals and phone calls and visits, through the presence of simply being with one another, through our own stories that we tell of God's presence and faithfulness to us through our prayers. Pulling down the blindfold doesn't mean that the things in life that bring us sorrow or pain or heartache won't exist anymore. After all, Simeon's prophecy doesn't exactly end on a high note. He looks at Mary and tells her that the road ahead for her child will be a difficult one, that he is going to cause anger and resentment in people. Because the light of God reveals not only God's love, but our lack of love. That light reveals our hearts, and sometimes that revelation can be a hard one to bear. And so the people will turn on this Christ child, and Mary, the watching mother, will be filled with sorrow. So no, this side of the new creation, we will still experience pain and suffering. But that makes God's promise to us and his fulfillment of that promise no less real. He is here with us now. That is the good news of Christmas. It is the good news of Easter. It is the news we hold on to in the advent of our lives. God is here with us now, present with us, faithful to us, good to us, holding us, protecting us, loving us. And so Paul can say in Philippians chapter 4, "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." That is the same contentment of Simeon, who has seen the Christ child. It's the contentment of Anna, who sings a song of joy to the people. It's the contentment of Naomi, who has been restored from her bitterness. And this contentment is ours, a joy that is mysterious, a peace that passes all understanding, the joy that Christ is with us. This business of seeing Jesus, of recognizing Jesus, of learning contentment, the business of trusting in God's goodness and faithfulness and presence to us, that is a journey, a lifelong journey in which we are shaped and led by the Spirit. We wait and we trust, and we wait and we trust. an advent of our whole lives, interspersed with the moments of Christmas and Easter and Pentecost, of God revealing himself to us in big ways and in small ways. But he is with us always in the journey. And so, says the songwriter Michael Card, there is a joy in the journey. There's a light we can love on the way. Would you pray with me? And so, Lord God, we live in this posture of waiting and trusting. Trusting that you fulfill your promises as you did for Naomi and Ruth, as you did for Anna and Simeon. We celebrate that the light that has entered the darkness and the spirit that helps us to see that light. And we wait for the day when every blindfold will fall from our eyes and we will behold your glory in fullness. In the meantime, help us to bear your light through our prayers, our words, our actions, our love. Help us to continue to seek after you and to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. May we not grow weary, but wait in eager expectation, looking to see the Christ child in unexpected ways, pulling down the blindfolds of those around us, surprised by your joy. A joy that has entered our world, a light that has overcome the darkness. Amen.